of how the funds to be appropriated for this fiscal year of 2013. There is a total of 1.8 million, as I understand, or close to it, somewhere around 1.8 million of available funds. And initially in the House, we had a number of 1.08 million. And as we worked it through the committees, we ended up with an amount of $750,000, with $100,000 of that appropriation being designated for this election procedures for individuals who have been convicted of a felony. That was a part of a recommendation from, and help me with the name of that committee, Representative Simon?
Mr. Chair, it's the Election Integrity Task Force.
And you were on that, were you not?
Right. The four members are one from each of the four caucuses. It was me, Representative Mike Benson, Senator Katie Sieben, and Senator Chamberlain.
Okay. And that was a separate bill as well that didn't make it through the process in the House. And so what we did was to include a sentence with that that amount. So 100,000 of the 750 was designated for that purpose. So that, in a nutshell, is what the House action was. And it passed the House floor. I don't recall the vote total offhand, but it was pretty overwhelming, as I recall. Mr. Marble, do you have?
I don't remember.
It was an overwhelming vote total.
Yeah, very few against.
I think there was only one. But.
Yeah.
So that's the House version, Senator?
All right. Well, the Senate version, we were more descriptive as far as the dollars. We had $50,000 for Military and Overseas Empowerment Act compliance. We did $120,000 for support of local election officials. $50,000 for eligibility notification letters to the felons, if required by law, and then a $250,000 appropriation in fiscal year 2013. So between the two, I think we're about $280,000 apart, and the descriptive, we're more descriptive on where the money would go.
Questions, discussion? Secretary Ritchie or Ms. Frazier, do you want to comment on?
What if I ask a quick question?
Sure. Sorry.
Thank you. Secretary Ritchie, I'll ask you. We were, when we put this bill together, we were pretty descriptive on the Senate file. With the openness of the House language and not being so prescriptive on this, if we were to move to more of a version of the House file, and how do we know? Is this something, 1, 2, and 3, that we have in the Senate file? Is that something that's normally been done to that level in past years? Anticipating any changes? Or maybe you could run through that if you could.
Secretary Ritchie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Perry. Yes, we've normally in off years spent $1.2 million total. That has included the compliance with the overseas voter provisions. Now we call it the MOVE provisions. It's included the training and all the assistance and support for the local election officials, including the largest part, which is the maintenance of the database. That's not included anywhere in the Senate language, and it's probably the top priority for where those dollars are used. And then the rest of the funds are used for bringing up the final version or the final work for the redistricting, and that's very unusual. It only comes up every 10 years, of course, so it's not very normal that we would have that. So that's a little. And the money for the felon notification and the cross-referencing with the database at corrections is a new thing, and that's the one thing that was new in this. and that bill died. So that bill did not survive. So, you know, these are our normal expenses and our normal expenditures in both off years and in the big election years, with the exception of the redistricting being unusual and the felon bill, which has now failed, at least for this round.
Ms. Frazier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senator Perry, to add to that answer, the office has not been required to track spending to this level of detail since Secretary Ritchie took office.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Ms. Frazier. I guess I'm just, you know, I think we passed this unanimously off the Senate floor. Is that right? With this language. And for me to, for us to go back and with any major movement here, I think there would have to be some kind of a confident feeling or guarantee of, you know, because some members were very, very concerned that these appropriations be earmarked specifically because they didn't want, for an example, Military and Overseas Empowerment Act. They didn't want that to slip through the cracks.
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And that's where I think we're having a little bit of issue. And I don't know if Senator Wigger can chime in on his party where they're at on the specifics of us being this tight. If you feel that there might be some movement one way or the other.
Senator Wigger?
Mr. Chair, we haven't had a chance to formally discuss that since the appointment of the conference committee. I would say that the minority party, though, would prefer to provide as much as would be available that we could to the Secretary of State with the election and with the spreadsheet of needs. But we've itemized as important. But in terms of how my colleagues, I think that probably would like to put in as much resources as we could at this point. I did have one question on the Secretary of State's request where the office needs for local support for local officials. It had 120,000 and then it's crossed off to 95,000. And the Senate bill has 120,000. The 95,000 reflects what?
That, if I might respond to that, we asked the Secretary of State's office to scale back their request and to tell us where they thought they could perhaps get by with a bit less. And so they reduced their 120 to 95.
Okay.
So this sheet, if that's the sheet you're looking at, these were the changes that the Secretary of State's office gave us, which got us down to 1,080,000. But we did not get a revised at the 750,000 level. We did not get a revised indication, correct, Ms. Frazier?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, that's correct. We didn't do up another sheet to reflect the 750,000. What I can tell you is that of the HAVA funds for our fiscal year 13 budget, 552,000 are planned to be spent on staff salaries for the professional election staff in our office and the computer staff that support them and support the systems. And the staff work on a variety of issues. We have a few staff that spend nearly all of their time on the phone or emailing with counties about how to use the system. Oh, you need to set up an election. Here are the steps you take. Oh, you're having problems with this. You know, let me help you with that. Oh, you're a brand new auditor. I'll train you in on how to run an election. And, you know, they and other staff are also troubleshooting, you know, working on the different data matches that we do, working on ensuring that the absentee ballot module of the statewide voter registration system is fully functional and that the functionality to send ballots electronically to military and overseas voters works. And so most of the money that we're requesting is for staff and staff that are doing a whole bunch of these different things. And so there are, in addition, a few hard costs. For example, some contracts that we have, a contract for the special website that we have for military and overseas voters, specifically a contract with the Department of Public Safety to pay for the verification that they do of voters every night, a contract with a vendor for the Postal Service for the address updates that we get. And then there's also IT maintenance and software, and then we also have some IT consultants that augment our computer staff. And so, I mean, those are kind of the categories of costs and how they're spent, if that's helpful, I guess.
Senator Perry?
Ms. Fraser, are you saying you're hiring new staff with this?
Ms. Fraser? Mr. Chair, Senator Perry, no. No, we currently, the vast majority of these funds would be spent on staff that currently exist. We also currently have some IT consultants in the office who are adding help in terms of doing the programming needed for redistricting and for other updates that we need to put in place for the presidential election.
Mr. Chair,
yep.
I know Secretary Ritchie wants to chime in, but aren't we already paying these folks? I mean, I'm trying to figure out where this $500,000, what is it that they're going to do? I mean, are they getting raises? I mean, it appears they're already on the payroll, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perry, when I was elected, we had 85 staff. With the 20% of cuts that have been handed down, we're now down to 65 staff. Those staff have been paid by $1.2 million every year in off years from the HAVA funds. Last year in the contract negotiations that occurred, only 1 year was appropriated, and in $1.4 million requests for the biggest year ever in Minnesota history, largest number of voters plus redistricting, was said to be, we would just come back this year. So we have $1.2 million each year of HAVA funds that have been spent long before I took office and spent last year. That's the federal government's contribution to our elections. So this money is the normal money for our budget. We took the cuts that were part of the state's rebalancing over the past 4 years. We took them on a voluntary basis. So we reduced our staff from 85 to 65. And all of a sudden, we have a $1.4 million hole in our normal budget. And so this discussion today is about filling some portion of that hole of what we normally do. Now, I might add that we're up by 33% on our business filings, and so that staff that's significantly reduced is pretty stressed. We haven't redistricted in my experience, but once every 10 years we redistrict, and this is a very big job. And we're preparing for a very large election with many brand new auditors and clerks because people have retired. So this is our normal budget. And we're in this situation because although the Senate, your committee, and others passed both years of HAVA money last year, that was rescinded in the contract negotiations and the final budget negotiations, and we were told to come back this year to re-request the $1.4 million.
Secretary Ritchie, just looking at the our budget that we passed in state government finance, we provided in that budget for the biennium ending June 30th of 2013, $1,240,000, and so the $750,000 that we're providing brings the for this year up to $2 million, correct?
Yes. And, yes, Mr. Chairman, that would be just a little bit shy of $2 million. We would have, our request was 2.6. Normally, it would have been 2.4 in a non-redistricting year.
Just wanted to clarify
that's correct.
That. Senator Daley, and then
thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I have is related to the nature of the funds. Are these all federal funds, state funds, or is it a combination of the two? Where is this money coming from?
These are all federal funds, correct, Secretary Ritchie? And they're funds that are earmarked for us to provide, make sure we have the kind of equipment that people with disabilities would be able to exercise their right to vote. And the other purpose, two purposes, accessible voting equipment in polling places, and secondly, to develop statewide voter registration.
Those are the
purposes under the
requirements.
Yes.
In order to receive those federal funds.
That's
strings attached,
that's
as
correct.
It were.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that's information right from the Secretary of State's information.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Daley, yes. There's a plan that was written about 10 years ago that's approved and then submitted, and then this is based on that plan. And they had to approve that before the money came.
Senator Daley?
Mr. Chairman, is there a limit to what those funds are for the state of Minnesota? Is there a ceiling? Is there a floor? Are there certain things we need to do? Do we just request it?
Mm-hmm. Well, Secretary Ritchie can respond to that, but as I mentioned, we have another million, a little bit over a million left. If we appropriate 750, we still got a little bit over a million left.
For what timeline?
Well, the real issue is whether or not there's going to be continued federal funding. Secretary Ritchie?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Daley, we do not know that there will be. There is no timeline as long as we stay with the plan. So it's our issue, and that $1.2 million per year could come from general funds, it could come from HAVA, but it makes sense because it's based on the HAVA plan. But it does point to an issue into the future because there's the two big issues, the provision of equipment for people with disabilities and the creation and maintenance of the statewide voter registration database, the big cost factor, are ongoing costs. And the federal government has mandated those but has only appropriated the money that we currently have. Each year we get a little bit to help mostly small towns and townships to put ramps and special doors in for ADA accessibility, but that's a little tiny thing that just happens each year, and it's somewhat dependent on how the federal government is running that program. This is the money we know about for the purposes of the statewide voter registration database and the assistance to the local officials in using that database.
So Mr. Chairman, from an intent, federal intent for these funds on an ongoing basis, was it a one-time thing to implement certain infrastructure, or was it intended to be a maintenance operations kind of thing where we would be relying on these funds for the foreseeable future? For an indefinite period of time, and if it's one time, what is our plan to implement those things and not be dependent or needing those federal funds from an operations point of view?
Well, in a sense, it hasn't been one time because we've continued to get funds over how many years, HAVA funds?
About 10 years.
How many?
About 10 years.
About 10 years. And so to that extent, it really is not a one time, but obviously how long this is going to continue to come is a real question.
So from an operations point of view, what did we do prior to receiving those funds, and what is our plan to go back to that type of operational environment, knowing that these funds are not likely to come to the state of Minnesota forever?
Secretary Ritchie?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Daley, before the HAVA bill was passed, there was not a federal mandate to have disability accessible equipment in every polling place, so that was a new mandate. I don't believe that Minnesota would want to go back to that time period, and I'm not sure the federal law would permit it, but that creates a very clear message for us in terms of our planning. And the mandate to create a statewide voter registration list, and then the further mandates to create procedures for providing absentee ballots and tracking absentee ballots and tracking military ballots have all come over the course of the 10 years. And so the $1.2 million in a normal year and $1.4 million in a presidential and in a redistricting year are, and we've been talking about this a little bit on the House side, are things that we have to look at going forward. Other states have begun to do things like add certain fee increases on some filings as a way to create a financial pool for that. Other states have been, just looking at general funds. But so far, because we've been pretty cautious with this, we've been able to have it to continue to be available to us and to get through redistricting. But you're putting your finger on a conversation that we need to have because it cost us $1.2 to $1.4 million more each year than is currently appropriate. Now, our office puts $10 or $12 million every biennium into the general fund. So we are a profit-making, if you want to use that term, agency that puts a lot of money into the general fund. A logic is that that money is rebalanced to cover this hole, but I think that we haven't really taken very many steps into that conversation yet.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the HAVA issue is one, Mr. Chair, that we've discussed in your committee and elsewhere. It does worry me for the future, and I'm sure the Secretary as well, because I think probably the safest assumption is that going forward it will diminish and maybe even end from the federal government. I don't know that, but, you know, given the climate in Washington, no matter what side you're on, people are going to be looking for savings, and maybe this is it. I don't know, but maybe that's safe for us to think about. But I do see here, based on this handout, and I don't know, Mr. Secretary, was this your handout?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That these numbers show that even regardless of HAVA, it's not like we're necessarily backfilling general fund with HAVA. It looks like the total appropriation has gone down anyway. You said 20%. That's about right here anyway. And so if we took away HAVA, it would be even more. So that's just something all of us have to think about going into next year and the year after is, assuming just for a second the worst-case scenario that the HAVA funding ends, what do we do and how do we backfill that? But that's for later, probably not this conference committee. I guess the question I have, Mr. Secretary or Ms. Fraser, is, you know, we have an obvious just different in the amounts here. Forget the fact that the Senate is more prescriptive. We have $750,000 in the House file, and we have $470,000 total, if I'm adding right, in the Senate file. And so I'll just ask the question, what would be different if you got 470 instead of 750? What kind of changes would happen or not happen, or what would the impact of that difference be, in your judgment?
Secretary Richards.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Simon, what would be $950,000 cut out of a $1.4 million normal budget? So it would be the elimination of $1 million worth of election work in a presidential election year with redistricting. So the budget for $1.4 million was very carefully thought through, and it's based on what's been the normal budget and the normal activities going back 6 or 8 years, long before I was in office. So we would take the scenario of cutting $1 million out of a $1.4 million budget and work backwards from there. I do want to address that one of the things. We ourselves are very prescriptive.
Mr. Secretary?
Yes.
Can I ask the question? I think I understand what Representative Simon's question was, and I think it's, what is the $280,000 buy us? The difference between the $750,000 that the House would appropriate and the 470 that the Senate would appropriate. If the Senate were to adopt the House language and we'd add that 280,000, what would that buy us that we're not getting right now with the 470? Or the other way to look at it is if we appropriate 470,000, what do we lose that we would get with the House 750?
Secretary Richie.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Simon.
Senator Daley, so there's the contract with the Department of Public Safety, which is the nightly verification of the identity and not, you know, whether a person who's registered is actually a person and if they exist and if they're voter, and if not, then we use Social Security, but that's Department of Public Safety. The contract with the U.S. Postal Service, which is for verification of address and for noting when somebody has moved, the website that's specifically for military voters, the maintenance, including there's software, there's hardware, and there's our contracts with Office of Enterprise Technology for the purposes of the security. The ability of our office to maintain a secure system has grown to the needs for security have grown so that that's now also in a contract with OET. So where would we, you know, I have six people who do this work in support of the local agencies and the local election officials. And so if you have, you know, if you have to cut all six of those people on, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, in our head, we start with every year we have 1.2 million and these are the things we do. This year, we add a presidential election and we add redistricting. This is what we do. So if I was to just start cutting, but I want to take the question to the way that you phrased it, which is what's the difference between the 280,000? It's having the staff available to make sure that our elections run smoothly and to have the staff available to complete the redistricting part, our part of the redistricting, which is imminent because we have to do filings very soon. You know, last year we laid out the normal work plan and the normal obligations that we had and were a little surprised when the budget was approved on the Senate side, but then it was cut in half. And so we've been trying to determine what are the things that we could just live without. These contracts for comparing our database with others are things that have to do with voter eligibility and the security of the system. And nobody wants to compromise that, but that is one of the things that's in there. This, the specificity of the Senate version of the bill is fine by us because it's specified in the plan that's in front of HABA and the specific things, the Military and Overseas Voter Act, these are very specific contracts that we have. You know, this is, you know, what we do on a regular basis. So we've been very, it's not a problem thinking about the specificity. But it's the amount of money that would normally be there, 1.4 million, which has been reduced dramatically. And so our own ability to think about, well, how will we pull this work off? I think the thing that we don't want to do in our office is in any way compromise the business services side, which is what generates the $12 million or so that goes into the general fund. And our office in the past was closed down part days in a budget crunch, and it created a very bad image for Minnesota. And so this is something we absolutely must avoid because it makes people in other states who file businesses believe that we're not, you know, we're not to be depended upon. So this is a concern for us in terms of the agency's integrity and our reputation. So we have, you know, 87 counties and 400 or 500 cities that rely on us to back them up and make their elections run smoothly, and we want to do that job. And it takes a certain amount of staff and a certain amount of technology, particularly computers and software, to make that happen.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Secretary Ritchie, you answered one of my questions, which is how do you feel about the specificity? It sounds like that alone isn't sort of a deal-breaker for you. You don't mind those instructions. I guess the question I would ask then is if you did have more money, let's just say for argument's sake, that the Senate is a floor, not a ceiling, the Senate version, if you were to get more money tonight or when this conference committee is done, what category, and assuming that we took the Senate approach of specificity, just for argument's sake, where would that first dollar go? In other words, I'm seeing one category, for example, support for local elected officials. Given your revised request of 95, the Senate actually gives you 25 more than at least your revised request, not your original request. Your original request was 120. Your revised request was 95. So if you were to get, I won't say an amount because maybe we don't want to negotiate in public here, but if you were to get some sizable chunk, which of these three specific categories in the Senate bill would you like to see more money for?
Secretary Richard?
Or is that an impossible question?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Simon, when we have some information about what this is, you know, we would sit down with the people that we have current contracts with and say, can we cancel this contract or are we stuck with it? I mean, so there's certain things that we don't have necessarily the information tonight. But I was just last week doing our training with the clerks. There were dozens and dozens of brand new clerks, and so, you know, this is some place where we need to put more staff attention time to make sure they feel comfortable. This week it's the county auditors and quite a few retired, and again, when we have new staff. So our emphasis is always on providing that support for the local people, so that would be an obvious place that we need to make sure is covered. But much of this is maintaining a very large database that is built on hardware, software contracts, and OET wraparound for our IT protection. And so those are the really big things. Finishing up redistricting is really crucial, and it must be done soon. So that would be an obvious priority as well. And that'll be more or less done with the end of session and with the whatever finally is worked out. And then there'll be some assistance to local officials who are continuing their own redistricting, but that's got to get done soon. So that would be another, you know, kind of obvious place that attention has to be focused.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then I'll relinquish the microphone here. I think I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Mr. Secretary, but I thought that was a pretty good answer. But I still think I would recommend to the committee then that to the extent that we put more money on here, we do it in the catch-all category on line 1.12 if we were to use the Senate as a template, because that gives you more flexibility, as I understand this. You know, the first part, lines 1.9 through 1.11, are prescriptive, but line 1.12 is sort of the miscellaneous category, which allows you some flexibility. And though I appreciate your specific answer, I would feel more comfortable giving you that specificity or that flexibility rather than being too specific about it in the conference committee. But that would be my own preference.
Senator Wieger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Representative Simon. Just big picture, I know we can go through recess and caucus and all that, but the way I see it is this. Go with the House amount on the appropriation. Go with the prescriptive amounts that are listed in the Senate, or 1, 2, and 3, and the balance goes into that larger pot. And if the Secretary can demonstrate that he feels we can reasonably accomplish three objectives, election running smoothly, redistricting implemented, and business services able to continue, I'm fine.
There's one other provision in the House bill that I wanted to bring up, mention, and ask the Secretary to respond to this, but and that's lines 11 and 12. The Secretary of State must not make any reductions to the Business Services Division to offset any of the reductions. And a concern on the part of our members was we don't want to have you pass on whatever you would have to pass on by charging more for the business services that there are. And I guess related to that, even though it's not specified here, another concern would be passing costs on to local governments beyond what they've been accustomed to getting support-wide. Are those issues problems as far as you're concerned, that with the numbers that we've got here?
Mr. Chairman, we are totally with you. I mean, there's two things that you've mentioned. One is the question with local governments, and for us, of course, that's townships plus the towns and the others. And I'm concerned about down the road because they have to replace equipment and a lot of things. But the second thing is the damage that was done to the reputation of our office when our office was closed half days for a while, I think, in some fight with Governor Ventura, is still with us today. And I have said to our, you know, half a million businesses out there, especially last summer, because some people tried to close our office. And we fought it really hard, and we successfully kept it open. And I'm committed to keeping it over hell or high water, as we used to say. Thank you.
I would agree. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm still having a problem with this, with the $280,000 difference. And I thought maybe we were going to get to it when Senator Daley questioned. I thought you said that with this, and maybe I heard it wrong, with this $280,000, you led me to believe in your answer that you were going to be hiring new employees. That's how I took it. You have 65 employees, which is down from what it was before. And your answer led me to believe that you were trying to tell me that the 65 employees can't handle the job and this other 280 would allow you to hire more employees to do the job. Is that what I heard?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berry, I'm apologize if that's what was implied, but it's absolutely not the case. Without this funding, those people are laid off.
So,
these are part of our core budget.
So the issue is not adding people. It's you'd have to lay off people.
We get $1.2 million per year, and this has gone on for years as part of our core budget until last summer. The Senate passed that full appropriation, but it did not survive the negotiations. So this year, we are back asking for that regular budget. We took our cut last year, and we voluntarily took cuts in the prior years when it was part of the process. And so for us, it's maintenance of our core operation is what we're talking about, not adding adding any people.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Secretary Ritchie, so if we were to come to the same monetary total as the House, 750, how many would you have to lay off at that price?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perry, so I would start with my contracts with the Department of Public Safety, the U.S. Postal Service, the Overseas Voter Foundation, and the other contracts we have, and I would find out, can we don't have the funds we thought we would have, can we eliminate these contracts? I would look at the statute to see what statutes we were absolutely required to do, and could we postpone some of those obligations. So we would go through very carefully to figure out what we have to do. Some of those contracts with our licenses, we would talk to Microsoft and say, can those be paid next year? I mean, we have a whole range of things that are necessary to maintain that statewide voter registration database, hardware, software licensing, and also the security, the data protection security contract that we do with the OET staff. So like any other business, we would go through and say, what do we have? And what can we eliminate out of that original? Now, a part of that original was for the felon voting law, and it was killed. I mean, it didn't go forward. And so that is already, you know, coming out of that. So we would, you know, we would go through this line by line and figure out how to make sure these priorities for us, making sure that elections run smoothly, making sure that redistricting is done, and making sure that our operations are safe and secure. Those are the things that are our top priorities.
Let me come back here. I guess what I was really, you know, I understand contracts, and I know how the contracts work. My question was, will there be at $750,000 appropriation, will there be employees laid off? Will it go below the 65 you tell us they're at, or will they stay the same? That's what I'm trying to get at, because you know, I'm sure you're not going to try to move contracts around to, you know, hurt the integrity of your office or the election cycle or the redistricting. I'm sure that's not where you would go. I guess what I'm getting at is if you have the full contingent of $750 or $750,000, does that give us the integrity that we have? Will there be more employees reduced, or will the level stay the same? And will those employees just be taxed to work a little bit harder?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perry, at $750,000, which is the number that we've been talking about for the last week, there may be one of the contract people that we cannot afford to keep, a database person. You know, there is an expansion of the database because there's more people, and so we've been preparing the expansion of the database. And that same person has been very helpful in the redistricting, which has to be done within the next few weeks so people can register. So I'm guessing that we're going to have to, at the $750,000 level, no longer have that DBA that's been the person helping us push the database. But it will maintain the core staff, many of whom have been there for a long time and are the real experts in our system. And so we are hopeful that that we have that shared commitment to maintaining the integrity of the system, and that we move forward, you know, with that common understanding among us.
Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rich, the biggest line item you have here is the $700,000 for the statewide voter registration system. Do you know what the annual fixed costs are for your hardware upgrades and the software licenses? I mean, that's pretty much a fixed cost.
Secretary?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McFarland, I could get that very quickly from our IT staff, but the biggest part lately has been in the software licensing, and we have occasionally had to do very large purchases of replaces of some of our data systems or not. Last year that we were big spending on the licenses. I think next year the plan is the spending on the hardware. But I could get that for you, you know, from the actual IT people, you know, first thing in the morning.
So is that something that's going to give if you get less money?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McFarland, if a server goes out, you got to really scramble. You just can't even think about it. You just got to go do it. And so we've been a very big customer for Microsoft. Our brand new business services system is a model for their nation. So they've actually been quite good for us in terms of, like, hey, we're not using all of those hard drives right now, but we've got licenses. Can we move those licenses to others? So, you know, I feel like my IT staff and my business, the people who handle our contracts, are really, like, always on top, really pushing hard all the time. But I also know that because they're old-timers in the IT world, they keep hardware going long, you know, and when some of the you know, when they go down, they really do have to be addressed right that moment. So because the public depends on our business services software and hardware all day, you know, 24/7, you know, it takes the biggest pounding, and it's in the same system as the others. And so we have to maintain both systems and then on election days make sure that the space is open up for the big pounding on election day. But because of that, it has to be really well maintained. I'm really proud of my team. I inherited a fantastic team and some old hardware and software, and so we've been working to bring that up, and it's been very successful to upgrade it on the business services side. But in the relatively near future, we need to think about the next generation for the statewide voter registration system, because it's now 10 years old, and it's just natural that we have to think into that. In fact, Representative Downey has been very inviting of the conversation about how do we think 5 and 10 years, because we're talking here about like redistricting, and that's sort of right now. But replacing equipment at the local level, at our level, and then the cloud, I mean, all those things really do have to be part of our next conversations.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Could I make a suggestion? Yeah. I don't know if this is premature, but I'm just going to throw out a suggestion here that maybe we can talk about. If we take a look at the House language, and if there was a way that the House would accept, I guess what has sold me was a statement that Secretary of Ritchie says when we were questioning what would he do with the other $280,000. The mere sake that he made the statement at 750 that we will maintain core staff. That means a lot to me right there. And I think we could go back and explain that to the Senate, because I don't think anyone in the Senate wants to see core staff pulled apart, because we need to maintain the integrity. But I think I would, if we could some way figure on your line 1.6, if we cross 750 and put 480,000 there, leave the rest the same. But then if we could some way add in our 1.9, the 50,000, pretty prescriptive on the 50,000 for military and overseas. In the line number 2, which is the support for election officials.
At 120?
Pardon?
At 120?
I think that adds up to that. You'd have to check my...
You're just suggesting we change on 1.12B, change that from 250 to 530.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the Senate language, Senate File 1832, line 1.12, change B, instead of 250, make it 530.
Right. That'd be too much, wouldn't it?
It's 530.
Oh, 530, okay.
If you had 250 to 280, you get 530.
So you want to restate what you're suggesting?
Well, I think Senator Daley put it right. It would be changing 1.12 on the Senate language to 530,000.
So you're working off the Senate language?
Well, either way, it would. if we can be prescriptive here, the Senate language for us works better. But we could get up to the House's total of 750 by adding that 530. But I also like what the House has talked about in 1.11 to 1.12. Yep. I think that's very important to also be put in.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simon.
Thank you. I think Senator Perry's onto something here in terms of using this. If I understand his proposal correctly, it would be add 530. Under line 1.2, add the House language on line 1.11 and 1.12. But, Mr. Chair, what I would add is on line 1.11 of the Senate language, it seems that that could be added to the next line only because that bill didn't make it. So instead of 230, Do I have that right? 530, I'm sorry, 530. It would be 580 and then get rid of line 1.11.
So you're suggesting that their third point be deleted?
Correct, and just add that number to the to line 1.12. So 530 would now be 580. So the three amounts, Mr. Chair, would be 50,000 on line 1.9, 120,000 on line 1.10, and 580 on line 1.12 for a total of 750. And then add the house language on line 1.11 and 1.12.
Okay.
I think that makes sense to me.
You want
to
move that?
I'll move that.
Okay. Representative McFarland.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering if the Secretary of State's office has said that they're on this budget that they could go 95,000. Why would we tell them they had to spend 120,000 for the local government, for local election officials?
Secretary Ritchie.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McFarland, the request from Chairman Lanning to reduce from the original figure down, he asked us to find cuts everywhere. We knew that the aid that we provide to local election officials is pretty important. The last week, I spent a lot of the time with the new clerks, and Tuesday, Wednesday, I spent it with the new auditors. It's my impression from having done that that we're going to need to put more resources, not less, into helping those brand new local election officials. So we would be very much appreciate having that ability to be able to really staff all those new people.
Leaving that number, Representative McFarland, at 120, and then the language on the business services gives House members some satisfaction that those are two issues of concern. A couple other quick questions, and then we can hopefully wrap this up. The Postal Service verifications and your data verification contracts, if there were any reductions there, are we at all increasing the possibility of increase in fraudulent activity?
Mr. Chairman, so each year a little bit different. For example, the U.S. Postal Service National Change of Address primarily reduces the cost to local election officials of having to data enter physically the change addresses and that kind of stuff. So it is a good thing always, and when somebody has moved out of state, that gives us the information. But it's a cost saving to local election officials primarily. That was the chief motivation. Cross-referencing with corrections and DPS and stuff, those are really about our security items. We use the State Department of Health. That's a very simple thing, but we also contract to use the National Death Registry, so that, you know, deciding which point in the year we do some of these data matches also determines when the contract cost is hit. Our goal is maintaining the highest level of integrity, but when we have something like change of address that can save some local government's money, we like to do that as well. So, you know, it may be working it out with them.
I think we're
good. Yep, very good.
One, before we vote on this, I just wanted to mention there was some interest in trying to revive the June primary business, and as Senator Perry and I talked about this, that's, I think, an issue that ought to be left to the next legislative session, because we couldn't have it take effect anyway until 2014. So I just wanted to mention that because there has been some interest. That language did pass the House, and I know Representative Simon voted for it. So I will just...
Mr. Chairman, I agree.
We'll just leave that issue aside. So let me repeat to make sure everybody understands the motion. We're working off the Senate language, and the lines, all the lines down through 110 are the same. Line 11 is deleted. Line 12 now becomes line 11, and that number is 580, did you say?
Correct.
Change the 250 to 580. The rest of those lines are included. And then we add lines 111 and 112 from the House bill. That's Senator Perry's motion. Any further discussion? Representative Simon?
Mr. Chair, I just have to put in one shameless plug, a bipartisan shameless plug. The Election Integrity Task Force, it's too bad that the bill didn't go forward about felons. This is one of those areas where, and I hope we have the bill so that we can appropriate money to enforce it next year. This is something that everyone can agree on. All four legislators right. did. I don't care where people are on photo ID. I'm not here to redo that discussion. But I think we can all agree that we shouldn't have felons voting. And I think most of us can agree that in many cases, the felons who vote probably are voting. They believe they can vote. They right. got out of prison and they erroneously believe, well, my sentence is done.
That's true.
But your sentence isn't done. You're still on paper.
Yep.
And I would imagine, I don't have any proof, it's just a gut reaction, gut feeling, the vast majority of them probably didn't realize they couldn't vote. And the more we can send out letters or communicate with the judiciary to tell them at sentencing hearings to make that very clear to people, the better we'll all yep. be. I think that's something we can all agree on. So I hope we get that done next year.
I agree with you, Representative Simon, that and that's why we had it in our bill, and that's why you had it in your bill
right.
as well. So yeah, this has to be, they can get it posted yet tonight in an hour or so. And it has to be posted for 12 hours before the House can act on it. And so we should be able to do that. We're coming in at noon tomorrow. I'm sure that we will be going probably a better part of the afternoon, if not longer. So we should be able to, and at what time do you guys go in?
We go in at 10.
10? I thought it was noon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was another meeting.
That's a change.
No, there's another meeting. I'm at 10, I guess.
Should we do the Vikings, too?
And you need signatures tonight?
Need four. Two from each side.
It's like you got to stay.
Post.
Is somebody going to, any of you going to be available in the next hour to do that?
You have a signature page you can just.
I can.
Yeah, I can, too.
Call the reviser and see how quickly they can get it
done. Sure.
Sure. I'll do that right now if you don't mind you talking over here.
You bet. We'll,
do we need to move on?
We got to vote on it.
Yeah, we need to vote on it. Yeah. So everybody clear on the motion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And so we'll hopefully get that finalized tomorrow. And just would like to put in this pitch for next session that as we look at state government finance bills for the next budget year, we really need to have a plan for how we're going to deal with this going forward. Because I think the chances of our getting continued NAVA funding from the federal government is next to nil. And Secretary Ritchie?
Well, Mr. Chairman, first, thank you to everybody for coming in and for helping us get through this process. But if it would be possible sometime over after the elections and before, but to really have some sit-down discussions that maybe were a little more really like conversation about what are some of the ideas that other states have done, what could we do? I know Representative Downey, I think others would be interested, but I would welcome, however we could cooperate to really be able to go into next year with some ideas, ready to talk about with colleagues and with others.
Okay.
And so.
Good. We have two people that takes a little while.
I can.
We got two. Carol and I can stick around and
sign. How long is
it
going to take them?
Sorry, Senator. The number I called didn't pick up. I know they're there. I just don't know the correct number right now.
You can hang for a little while.
Sure.
You get your office?
No.
Nope.
I'll just.
Somebody have your number?
He's just going to sit here and wait.
Yeah. Get a life, Chuck. Yeah.
Carol, Jesse, and Brian, they had another baby this morning.
Wonderful. So, congratulations.
Her kids know mine.
Are we done?
Yes.
Are we adjourned?
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Not sure.